I want to read a quote here by John Newton. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. I like that. Let me go ahead and get started. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Second Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
We read here of the account where Paul the Apostle speaks of himself, I believe, and he says he did not know what form the man took on. He talks of him as in the third person. He says, whether in the body or out of the body. He said, God knows. But this man was taken up. Paul, because of what God taught him through all of this, as we read further, would not even speak and tell everyone that it was himself he was talking about. God had taught him not to glory in his flesh, as if he was better than someone else, or that there was something special about him because he had experienced this.
Yeah.
He was no different than you and I when it comes to this flesh.
Yeah.
If God were to not give us messengers of Satan to buffet us, we would start glorying in ourselves if we were something, as if we were something, because God has revealed himself to us. That's what we would do. Mm-hmm. We do have that tendency. I see it in myself. We do not get anything. We are not revealed anything because we are worthy or because of our own selves. We are all given revelation from God because he is pleased to give it. If he is not pleased to give it, then we will not have it.
That's it.
He speaks nothing here of what he heard. In fact, he even says the things he heard were things that were not lawful to be uttered. What Paul means by what he says in verse 4 is they were so glorious that he was unable to even explain what he saw.
Yeah.
He's not saying he saw things that were against the law.
Yeah.
He saw glorious things, and they were so glorious that he did not have the words to explain them.
Amen.
And that's what Paul is telling us there. Such a one who has been revealed these glorious truths, know they are not worthy to be revealed these things. So as Paul says here, he will glory in such a one that has been revealed these things, but not in his flesh. In other words, God has taught him that not to glory in something he has been given. But then we read of something Paul was given, and it was this messenger from Satan, he says. The purpose this was given was so that he did not glory in himself, but in the one who gave him such revelation. So let's talk about a thorn in the flesh and God's grace. Now, beginning with this thorn in the flesh, we have heard several men say, and rightfully so, they speak of this not being able to explain exactly what this is. And I will not be able to explain exactly what this thorn was either. I don't know exactly what it was, because it does not tell us. I do know this, though, from the context and from the meaning of the words. Paul had some kind of malady, some kind of suffering and affliction that he physically had with his body. The word actually means a point or prickle in his flesh, not something in his spirit or mental, in other words, is what I'm trying to say. It might be a better way to say that. But he actually had some kind of pain in his flesh that caused him pain. This is said here in this passage to be the messenger of Satan. That's what it says. It may be for our spiritual good, but this was from Satan. But let me also say, this was given to him by God. And I say that because Satan does not do anything unless God allows him to do it. Satan gave Paul this thorn in the flesh to buffet him. It was used to buffet him, and that means to rap with a fist. It was used to punch him, in other words, something done as a constant reminder to him that he was given these things, and so that he should not glory in himself. That's the whole context of this passage. It was painful, this thorn in the flesh, it was painful, it was disruptive to Paul. He sought the Lord to remove it from him. We often see pride in others, but in ourselves we do not often see it. God does allow us to see it sometimes, and when we do, we will be ashamed. But God gives us these things to teach us and to keep us looking to Him. The Apostle Paul went to the right place. Because if it were to be removed, it would be God that removed it. We do not direct Satan. God directs Satan. If we are to be freed from some malady, be it physical, mental, spiritual, or whatever, God will have to be the cause of it to depart. It's a good place to go to the Lord for these things. In fact, it's the only place to go for these things, for the child of God. But you should be prepared at to what answer you might get. It does not say that you will never be relieved of a messenger of Satan. It's telling us what God told Paul. Paul sought the Lord 3 times to have this removed from his body. This is where you should go to seek a thorn in the flesh to be removed. Maybe God does remove them for you and then gives you another one so that you continue to go to Him, to seek Him. But He may not relieve you of it. And it will be for your good if that is the case. What does God tell the Apostle Paul when he asked him to remove it? He said no. God told him, the Apostle Paul, that removing this thorn in the flesh would not be good for him. God was telling the Apostle Paul that there was a reason he had given him this thorn in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
The reason for this was so he might not glory in his flesh, but that he would glory in the Lord. God told Paul that his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
God's grace is sufficient to get you through all the way to the end, whether you are being buffeted by Satan or whether you have sunny days throughout your whole life.
That's it.
I will say, though, if you always have sunny days, then I'm a little worried for you, because more so than I am with someone who has trials every day. Because we have been promised by God we shall see tribulations, trials, and sufferings.
Yes, sir.
We see here the reason for those. It causes us to look to Him.
Amen.
It causes us not to trust or glory in our flesh, but glory in the one true God who has shed His grace on us abundantly. His grace is truly sufficient for us no matter what we might be going through.
Yes.
And I can tell you that most here are going through or dealing with a thorn in the flesh. But His grace is sufficient. So next, God's grace. In verse 9 He says, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." God's grace will overcome anything that you might be going through. The words there, if you have a Bible that has the words of Christ in red, His words are this: "My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, this is not saying that we do something for God to make Him more perfect. It is talking about or to us. When God sends these things to us that make us weak, it causes us, it forces us to look to His power and strength.
Yes.
Therefore, making it more perfect. So that the child of God ever keeps before him the one who is all powerful and has all strength. We see that Jesus Christ is our strength, and it causes us to look to Him. If He caused us to walk a bed of roses all the time, if you will, we would start to glory in ourselves as if we had something to do with what we have. Paul tells us this, that this is the reason this was sent to him in verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure."
Amen.
Exalted above measure. That I should raise myself up, or to become haughty or prideful, thinking of myself as something when I am nothing. This because of the abundance of the revelations given to me, is what it said there. Knowledge puffeth up.
Yes.
That's what Paul tells us elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 8:1. He says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth."
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up. It is not that it might. It says their knowledge puffeth up. Because this is true, we are sent messengers of Satan to buffet us. This for the purpose of causing us to see His grace that has been shed on us. All things are given to us, so why do we glory as if it had not been given us? I read this before, but 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" God Almighty for His people will cause them to continually look to Him. Him who is full of grace and truth. That is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord was buffeted. He was physically beaten by men so that you could not even tell who He was by looking at His face. But what do we read of our Lord? And turn with me to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 25. First Peter 2, verse 19. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. For by whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Amen.
He who is full of grace and truth did not open his mouth, even though he had reason and right to glory in himself.
Yep.
He took upon himself the form of a servant. He knows our frame, because he was made like unto his brethren. Hebrews 2:17-18 reads, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
Amen.
He knows our infirmities.
Yes.
He knows what we can take and what we cannot take, because he was made like unto us and he suffered.
Yes,
he knows that his people, when they are sent these messengers, will look to him. When they do, they will see. It will cause them to see and to know that his grace is sufficient for them.
Amen.
They are not to trust in themselves or to think of themselves more than they should. He sends us these things to cause us to see him. He sends us these things so that we might be reminded again and again of what he has done for us, and also what he does for us now and what he gives us now. His grace is truly sufficient.
Amen.
His grace will get the job done. His grace, if he has shed it on you, is not a one-time act.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is an act that has taken place from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
His grace, that grace which has with it, you know, the grace is the canopy. But Scripture says the election of grace. Chose us in his Son from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The whole purpose God had for creating this world and all that in it is, was to show grace toward man and to give glory to himself for doing so.
Yes.
Grace that man does not deserve, but grace that he is willing to give and give it abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about that kind of grace where we are told, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
His people will find themselves to be full of sin.
Yes, sir.
And then he will teach us that because of who he is and what he has done, that his grace does much more abound. In that he has sent his Son to die for us. It is that grace that is always present with the child of God, because he has been pleased to give them to his Son. So they will always, no matter what comes their way, he is always there with them in these trials. He knows we will complain. I'm not saying that it's okay for us to complain. I'm saying that to tell us, as Scripture tells us, that he is full of grace and truth. As Walter told us last week, he is full of mercies. He delights to show mercy.
Yes.
He knows just what to send our way to cause us to see this.
Yeah.
Not too much and not too little.
That's right.
He knows us because he is us. He is our brother. And he is not just our brother. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is much more. He is all things to us, even our life. His grace is not just a theory or an idea. He showed us this grace in being who He is, but then doing what He did. He did all this for us. He was the only one who could do it for us. Had He not done this, then no one would be saved. No one would know His grace. His grace is sufficient because He showed us the abundance of His grace in doing this for us. I did a message on grace, the grace of God. And I made the following statement, which is not all-inclusive. I didn't mean it for it to be all-inclusive, but I will tell you now, I will add some to it. And I might add some more later, but here it is. Here's that statement. I said, there is God's grace which saves. It is there when you die. It is there when you travel. It is a grace that forms a new heart in you. It is a grace that restrains. It is a grace that overrules. It is a grace that reveals, and so on. So I want to add that to say this. There is God's grace which saves. It is there when you die. It is there when you travel. It is a grace that forms a new heart in you. It is a grace that restrains. It is a grace that overrules. It is a grace that reveals. It is there in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, and so on, because of Christ's sake.
Yes.
That last part is very important.
Amen.
We sometimes go through some things, and they are not because of Christ's sake. There are times we go through those kind of things because of our pride. Because of our downright mean, full of pride and full of sin self.
Yeah.
I know Jesus Christ paid for those sins, but we still have them.
Yeah.
Christ died for every sin I will commit until the day I die or am changed when He returns. So there will be sin committed to me to my own shame. But if you go through these things because of Christ's sake, then you can take pleasure in these things. Kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? Paul did not sound like he was taking pleasure in it. He asked the Lord Christ to remove it from him. The pleasure is in seeing Him for who He is and what He has done. When God has us in this place, and let me be clear, God may keep us in this place, just as He did the Apostle Paul. We may never see it go away for our lifetime. We read nowhere else where Paul says it was removed. We, in fact, read here where God tells him no, that He would not remove it. God puts us through these things to cause us to see Him and His grace toward us. Because we are so full of pride that if He did not do this for us, we would start glorying in ourselves. We would start to think that we were something special. But we go through and endure these things so it will cause us to look to Him for our strength to endure these things. His grace is sufficient because He says it is. If God says His grace is sufficient, no matter what He has us in, and I want to make sure and say it that way, some things God puts us through that might be temporary, but then others we always have to contend with. If they are for Christ's sake, then the whole reason, as we are told here, is so that we might see that His grace is sufficient for us. His grace will get us to Him. If your desire is not to be with Him, then the things you are going through are not for Christ's sake. We are told that in this life we shall endure tribulations. What does our Lord tell us? John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation.
Amen.
But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
These things that we go through are temporal.
Yes.
They will not last. There will come a time when we will be with Him.
Yes, sir.
That time will be when He returns, or He takes us on now to be with Him. But He is not going to forget us. He has promised to come again and that we might be with Him where He is. So what are these things going to do to us? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing will. His grace is sufficient. His grace gets the job done because His grace we see in the face of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has shown us how far He will go. He came down and was ultimately forsaken of the Father so that we might live in Him. If God has purpose to give you to His Son, then what do you think is going to keep you from being given to His Son ultimately? What do you think is going to prevent you from being with Christ? His grace is sufficient. His grace, which we do not deserve, but was given us and given to us while at the same time handing out justice for our sins. You can count on His grace because He is God. May it be just like Noah did. You will find grace in the eyes of the Lord when He causes you to see the face of Jesus Christ. Because this one thing is true, because He tells it it is, and He showed us that it is. His grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank You for your grace, dear Lord. It's Your favor on us in Your Son, dear Lord. Cause us always to see Him. Because it's all the favor is in Your Son, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.